Thank God for the song service this morning. Thanking as the Lannings were singing, Solomon, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible says, I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. I'm glad he desires, his concern, his intent is toward his children this morning. I bless his name for that. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Find our text in Ruth, chapter number 1. Ruth chapter number 1, begin reading verse number 21. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, verse number 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Father, we thank you this morning for your presence we've already felt. We want to thank you this morning, Father, for bringing us safely to the house of God. Those are able to come. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. We need something fresh. We need something new this morning. God, we are a needy people. No doubt, Father, as we just read, many of us, myself included, may be here this morning under the sound of my voice, needing something. Going out full and coming home empty. Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit, fill us with your love, with your presence, and we'll thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Naomi, in our text, we know her name means pleasant. Her name means joyous. She is an incredible figure in the book of Ruth. We know the book of Ruth. It's a great book about a people who had no rights to God. They had no goodness. They had no rights to his grace. Ruth, the Moabite, this book is about, is a Gentile that had no rights to God or the throne of God, the blessings of God. And that's what God does to us. We are a Gentile people outside of his inheritance, outside of his blessings, outside of his grace. But thank God for a Jewish Savior. God, his love toward us, his desire toward us. And we now have a Gentile bride, the church, married to the bridegroom. And we have the rights. We have the blessings of God. And I'm thankful for that. We read this verse in verse number 21, how Ruth, she leaves the land of Bethlehem, Judah. She goes to a place called Moab. And she comes home empty. Begin thinking about empty and how empty many of us may be, myself included. You know, several weeks ago, the beginning of January, I was asked to come and cut down some trees for a gentleman who had just built a house. He had a beautiful view. It was overlooking a mountain landscape, and he had several trees that was blocking his view there on his back porch. And he'd asked me to come and cut the trees down, and I met him one morning. It was early in the morning, about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and I left the house. It was cold. I had my work clothes on, coveralls on, wet leather work boots, and it was clear at my home, and it was very, very cold, but yet as I met this man, he told me on what he wanted done, the work he wanted, the trees he wanted cut down. And I thought to myself, this will be a pretty easy job. It'll take me a few hours. It was on a slope, a very steep slope. And he said, just cut the trees down. He owned the land, leave them laying. I didn't have to cut them up and all would be well. And that was great. And I started cutting these trees. And about 9:30, 10 o'clock, it began to snow, kind of like yesterday, a very wet snow. And I was there on the North Carolina-South Carolina border, and by 12, 1 o'clock, there was 2.5 inches of snow. And it doesn't sound like a big deal, but I was on a very, very steep incline. And about 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock, I didn't have the proper tire on. I didn't have waterproof shoes or boots, and my feet was soaking wet. Up to my knees, I was soaking wet. I was frozen. My feet was frozen. They were numb, and I worked through it, cut those trees down. He was happy. He has a great view, and all was well. But I got into my car and started driving on the way home, and as soon as I started driving, my gas light came on. And here I am about 35, 40 minutes away from home. And I thought to myself, I'm froze to the bone. I'm going to just drive a little further. And as I get closer to home, I'll stop at a gas station and get gas. And sure enough, I passed Hendersonville, passed Fletcher, began to get close to Arden. And as I went further and further and further, I kept thinking to myself, I believe I can make it. I think I can make it home without stopping, without filling up. And sure enough, I pulled in the driveway and took off those wet clothes, took a warm shower, and I was happy. All was well. And we went through the day, and Natalie cooked supper that night, and it was a slow night, not much going on. And it was about 7:30. We were just sitting there by the fire. And I told Natalie, I said, you know, Natalie, I'd love to have some coffee. I'd love to have some Dunkin' Donuts coffee, that sweet coffee. And I told her, I said, do you want anything? I think I'm going to go out and get some coffee. She said no, so I left the house and got my car and just remembered I had no gas. Now, Dunkin' Donuts, if you don't know, they close at 8 o'clock. It's 7:45, and I just had a few minutes to get there. So I thought to myself, I believe I can make it before 8 o'clock. I pulled out on 191. I passed the gas station. I passed High Vista, I passed the lodge there on 191 and started going down the hill and up the hill almost to 280, and my Jeep started sputtering. I told myself, this can't be happening. And I thought, if I could only make it to the top of the hill, I can coast down to 280 and maybe get close to Ingalls and just walk and get some gas. But as I started going up the hill, she stopped. Came to rest right at Mount Gilead Baptist Church. Didn't know what to do. I was out of gas. Began thinking, who am I going to call? I called Natalie and I asked her, I said, Natalie, what are you doing? She said, well, Gunn, you just left. You know what I'm doing. I said, where are you at? And she said, I'm sitting here by the fire. And out of gas, out of dignity, out of pride, I had to ask my wife to come and bring me some gas. The reason I was hesitant to call her, the last time this happened was in 2002. Anaya was just born. She was a newborn babe. We had brought her home from the hospital. I was out one evening, and I no doubt ran out of gas again, and I called Natalie. I said, now I'm just a few minutes from the house. Can you go and to the storage shed and get the gas can, bring me some gas, and help me out? And there was a long pause. And this was her response to me. She said, call your daddy. I said, now what do you mean, call my dad? I said, I'm out of gas. You're just a few minutes away. Just go get some gas and bring it. And she said, Gunn, we have a newborn baby. I just fed her. I laid her down for the night. I can't bring her out in the cold. It's not good. Just call your daddy. So I was hesitant on that night just a few weeks ago to call my wife, thinking she would say, call my dad. But she brought me some gas. I went and left and filled it up and began to think about our church, began to think about my spiritual life, how I try to go from destination to destination. I try to go through this life and do my best and serve the Lord and do what's right, but yet inside spiritually, I'm empty. And I believe this morning the Lord would have me to tell you the same thing that my wife had told me. When we're out of gas, when we're empty spiritually, when we're needing something, when we're needing something from God, we just need to do one thing. We need to call our Heavenly Father. We need to ask and have an open line of communication and prayer and ask and beg Him to fill us and to help us. And for we're wanting people in a dry and thirsty land. This morning I want to preach on the thought, what to do when you're empty. Ruth in verse number 21, Naomi, she leaves a place of blessing. She leaves a place called Bethlehem, Judah. And we find, number one, she ran from the source of her supply. She goes, she left Bethlehem, Judah, a place, the house of bread, where God had visited many times, where God had blessed, where God had visited, how he had moved, and she walks away from all of it. She goes, there's a famine in the land. And what she was saying, God, you have not blessed us like you did before. She's saying, God, we're living in a land that you once blessed, you once visited, but you're no longer, our pantries are no longer full, our cupboards are no longer running over. She's saying it's a dry and barren land. She's saying, God, you're not moving like you once did, and she left this blessed source of supply. Let me say this morning, Naomi, I believe, knew something about God. We know her name means pleasant or joyous. And we know in the Old Testament, God's blessings, God's hand on one, could be measured in their physical substance. You think of the Old Testament prophets and families and pictures of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. We think of Moses and David and Solomon and Job, and here in our text, Naomi. When God blessed someone in the Old Testament, it was a material blessing. It was a physical substance. But when you come to the New Testament, the age of grace, the church age, that God's blessing is no longer measured in physical substance, that prosperity gospel, but it's measured on a spiritual substance. It's determined on what is inside the born-again believer, the love, the joy, the peace, the contentment that God gives. Naomi knew something about God's blessings. She was blessed beyond measure. We find she's pleasant. Her husband is Elimelech. His name means my God is king. And she's walking away from the very place, the very source of her supply, just because there was a short famine in the land. You know, this morning, many of us may not feel like we once felt. We may not have and sense the presence. We're not stirred like we once were. Those tears may not flow like they once did. We're not burdened like we once were. Our heart is no longer warmed and stirred when we hear the songs of God or the preaching of the word like it once was. That does not give us the right to walk away from the very source of supply. I want to say this morning, when we make a decision, when we're empty, when we make a decision, when we're drained, it will cause a detrimental effect to you and your family. It'll only cause more heartbreak and brokenness, and that's what Naomi finds. She leaves full. She leaves with her cup overflowing. She leaves boundless measures of grace and blessings in her life, but she comes back, the Bible says, empty. She leaves Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. We know Naomi has a daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. Ruth would go on and measure a kinsman redeemer by the name of Boaz. And out of that lineage of Boaz and Ruth, we find they have a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David. David has a son named Solomon, and so forth, till you get to the first book of Matthew, and the Bible says that Joseph took a young virgin who was born Jesus, which is called Christ. She leaves full. She comes back empty. She left her source of supply. But I want to thank God he was not done with Naomi. And if you're here this morning and you're empty, you feel like you're needing and you're desiring something that you no longer have, that fullness that God had blessed you with, there's good news. God still wants to fill you. Although there was a famine in the land, I want to say God was still working. He was still wanting to move. He was still wanting to bless. And although we live in a corrupt society, I believe God still desires to work and to move in the lives of those that will allow him. I was thinking this morning about God and how he wants to feel his children again. You know, God's intents, His attention, His focus, His eyes, I don't believe is on this corrupt society around us. His focus and His interest, I don't believe in, is on the United States of America. His focus and His intentions and His desire, I don't think is on any nation or any rule or any government or any political party. But I believe His focus, His love, His thoughts, His concern, His desire is to three things. That's number one, the nation of Israel. His own people. God came to His own received Him not. Number two, His focus, His intent, His eyes is on His children, the church, those that are saved. And number three, His focus, His intent, His desire is on individual sinners, pulling them out of hell and redeeming their soul. We find it wasn't about the famine. It wasn't about Bethlehem, Judea. It wasn't even about Moab, but it was about two individuals in this book by the name of Naomi and Ruth that God wanted to fill one more time. We find that principle in our text. God has blessed this land. He had visited Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. That was his land, and He visited it, and He's using and He's guiding and He's directing Naomi, one that walks away from the source of her supply, to bring back a lost Gentile to be redeemed by Boaz. A wonderful picture of Christ and the church. Naomi is full. She had all she needed. She's overrun with blessings, and she walks away from her source. But let me say number two. She finds herself in Moab, empty, wanting, desiring, needing something. But she removes herself from that setting. Look at verse number six. The Bible says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. For 10 years, she's living in a land where that is founded and is based on an incestual relationship of Lot and his eldest daughter, a place of where God has not approved and God was nowhere blessing. And although she thought the grass was greener in Moab and the fields are fuller in Moab, this same famine in Bethlehem, Judea, was found in Moab. And she not only experienced that same famine, but she lost her husband, she lost her two children, and let me say number three, she lost her son. That joy, happiness, that pleasantness that her name means is no longer found. Anytime we leave the presence of God, anytime we walk away from our source of supply, that will have a detrimental effect on the child of God. I began to think in Psalms 31:37, those Jews, they were taken captive by the Babylonians. There on by the rivers in Babylon, they hung their harps on the trees. The tears no longer flowed. Their heart was no longer stirred. It was began to break. And the Babylonians said unto the Jewish race, they said, sing us one of these songs from Zion. Psalms 137, verse 4. The Bible says, they spoke, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Naomi's in a strange land. Her song has been taken away. Her family's been taken away. All that was within her had been taken away. She's left her source. She's left her supply. She finds herself empty. No husband, no children, no song, no peace, no joy, no contentment. But thank God we find verse number six. The Bible says, for she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people. The word visited, it means attend to. It means to pay attention to. It means to focus on. It means that He, one more time, blessed His children. I believe if you was to ask a pastor, any pastor, tell me one thing that your church needs, you would find answers like, we need a larger Sunday school group. We need a larger youth group. We need more funds in the building program. We need to support more missions. Those are all great. Those are all good answers. But I think any Holy Ghost-filled man of God would say one thing. He would say, we need God to visit us. And that's what we find in our text. We need God to visit us. We need God to touch us. We need God to have the hand of God in our lives. We need his presence of this Almighty God. And now Naomi, the Bible said she heard that the Lord visited his people. I don't know how she heard. We know there was no public social media in those days. There was no cell phones or radios. We know there was no public communications. But nonetheless, it says she heard. She heard how God had not forsaken his children back in Bethlehem, Judah. She had heard how God's word was still true. She had heard how God had not left them to their own. She had heard that God was still God, and he was one more time filling his people. I like what the Bible says in verse number 6. It says, she arose. She heard, she responded, she arose. Then verse 7 says, she went forth out of the place where she was. In Moab, a dry and thirsty land where no God is, she found herself in a country where the government, a political party couldn't help her. She found herself where there was ravished with plagues and pandemics, but she'd heard that God was still on the throne. She found herself at this place of emptiness, and she removed herself from that setting. I want to say, Naomi realized that the practices and the problems of this world will drain us dry. So she did one thing. She went to where God was. She ran from the supply. Number two, she removed herself from the empty setting. Let me say number three, she returned to the one that sustains. She leaves this place of Moab, a place that left her empty and left her wanting. She returns to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, with only one thing, her daughter-in-law, Ruth. We find she's broken, no money, no material wealth, no food. We find she has lost her family, her husband, her children. She's spiritually empty, she's dry, she's been away from God. Yet as she enters this land, we find in the book of Ruth, the unseen, guiding, directing hand of God guides her to a place, a field that's owned by a kinsman redeemer. The Bible says of Boaz, this kinsman redeemer, a type of Christ, that he was a mighty man of wealth, that he was related to Naomi. He was a kinsman redeemer, but he was more than a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer would have been the one that you're related to that's chiefest in the family. The one that's loftiest, the one that is the wealthiest, the one that is exalted, the one that is most revered in the family. Reminds me of a lot of my blood relative, Jesus Christ. We find in this story of how Boaz redeems Ruth. And he pays a price for all of what Naomi once had, what Elimelech's inheritance was. And by paying that price, he buys Ruth to him as his bride. And he buys all that Naomi was entitled to. And now he owns the field, owns the land. And Naomi has that inheritance. You know, this morning, Christ has bought each and every one of us. He's paid a price from the saint sitting in the pew to the sinner in hell. Christ has purchased your sin debt. He has bought, he has paid for, he has took care of the wages of sin, and everyone, from the lost sinner to the saved saint, They have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But yet, even though you may be bought with that blood, your eternal home, your eternal place of destination still can still be a place called hell. You see, there's a difference between being bought with the blood. Jesus paid those wages of sin. Being bought is a vast difference than being washed in the blood. We find in Revelations 1:5, those saints said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Everyone's sin debt is paid. Everyone's been purchased and bought with a price. But only those that have placed their faith in this kinsman redeemer is washed in this precious blood. Thank God for the incarnation of Jesus Christ, where deity came humanity. That's our kinsman redeemer. He knew what it was like to be robed in flesh and blood. He's bought our price. He's paid our sin debt. He's washed us in his precious blood. I want to say this morning, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am, in garments much more whiter than the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me. This I know. I'm thankful I've been redeemed. We find that Boaz redeems Ruth as his wife, and now all that he has is Ruth and Naomi. Naomi left full, and she comes back empty. But now she finds one that can sustain her. Chapter 4, the book of Ruth, verse number 13. The Bible says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Naomi leaves full. She comes home empty. She comes back wanting. She comes back needing one to sustain her. We see that Boaz redeems Ruth. They have a son. And now Naomi has a grandson. I don't know what it's like to have grandchildren. Brother Chris, Sister Dana, you're fixing to find out. But they tell me it's like none other. The love, the compassion, the care you have for these grandchildren, we find it looks like to me that Naomi is no longer empty, but she's being filled with the blessings of God. Notice our text, verse number 14. The Bible says, "The women said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord." What they were saying is, look at Naomi. Naomi's famous. She has a grandson. She has one that she's going to nurse, that she's going to raise, that she's going to care for. But notice, who is it that cares for Naomi? Through this child, through this grandson, God fills Naomi again. It says in verse 15, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy own age." The word restore means to sustain. This one that God gives Naomi that fills her life with joy and pleasantness one more time is going to support her. It's the idea of something you can hold on to and you can hold into. She finds something that fills her one more time. And I'm thankful this morning we come to the house of God. We may be empty. We may be wanting. We may be hurting from a dry and thirsty society. But we don't feel, we don't sense, and we don't see God like we once did. The good news, it's not that God won't fill us again. It's not God can't fill us again. It's just he wants us to come and run to him. You know, Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah. And when we're empty, Let me say, it's not God's fault. When we're empty and needing, it's not the churches. It's not the pastor. It's not the songs we sing. It's not even the society we live in. But when we empty and we live in a famine land, it's our own fault. Naomi, we find she chose to leave. But God didn't leave her. God nourished her. God restored her. God blessed her. And God filled her again. I'm glad God wants to do the same thing for us. He wants to fill us again. Begin to think this morning in the book of Mark, the wonderful gospel speaks about this word again. I believe Mark, he centers and he focuses on the repeating kindness, the repeating goodness, the repeating blessings of God, how he wants to do things again in our life. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum. Mark 2:13 says it again. He went again by the seaside. In Mark 3, it says he entered again into the synagogue. 4, he says he entered again to teach. In Mark 5, it says, and Jesus was passed over again by the ship to the other side. In Mark 5 or 7, it says, and again, departing from the coast, he came to the Sea of Galilee. In Mark 8, it says, entering again into the ship. And we find in Mark 8:15, he's referencing a blind man. He places his hands on this blind man, and the Bible says after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored. He wants to fill us again. But we need to remove ourselves from the setting, from the place that we're in, and we need to return to the one that can sustain us. I'm trying to say this morning, God wants to fill us. He wants to help us. He wants to use us. He wants his presence to be real in our lives. If only we would run to the sustainer. He wants to do it again. That's my message. Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah. She was full. She went to a dry and thirsty land that drained her, that caused her to be empty. But she heard how God had visited his people again. And she leaves that setting, she returns to the sustainer, and God, through his blessings and through his goodness, fills her again. I'm thankful for that truth this morning. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here, maybe you're empty, maybe you're needing something from God. You can come, run to this sustainer, and he'll fill you again. Anna Lee, you mind, Sawyers, one of you come and play something on the piano. Whatever your need is this morning, just run to the sustainer. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, no doubt we live in a dry and thirsty land. We live in a land, Father, that's godless and wicked and immoral, full of hypocrisy, knowing that affects your children, the problems and the things of this world. But I'm thankful, Lord, we can walk through this world full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of your presence and full of your power. If we'd only run to you, Lord, I pray that you would work and stir the hearts of your people. Father, I pray you'd reveal our hearts to us. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know this free pardon of sin, doesn't know what it means to be washed in the blood. I pray, Father, that you would show them their ways. But God, I want to thank you this morning for that kinsman redeemer. Father, for redeeming us out of our sin and redeeming us out of a life of misery and a life that's destined for hell. God, help us. There may be some in here that's empty, Lord. Fill them again. For your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, it's